Isaiah chapter 50. Of course, I'm sure when we read verses 6 and 7, you recognize that those verses were a prophecy of the crucifixion of Christ. It says, I gave my back to the smiters. And Jesus did that as he gave his back to the Roman soldiers, and they used that cat of nine tails to give him 39 lashes as they scourged him. He says, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. And of course, we know that they pulled the beard from his face as they tortured him before the actual crucifixion. He said, I hid not my face from shame and spitting, as they slapped him and punched him and spit in his face. And every one of these prophecies that are given in this chapter were fulfilled in the New Testament as we read the story of the crucifixion. Tonight, I just want to use one little phrase from verse 7 where the Bible says, therefore have I set my face like a flint. I want to use that little phrase for my text and my message tonight. That word flint is a hard variety of quartz, and so it's a hard rock. I mean, it's the kind of rock that if you strike together, you can get sparks from and start a fire. It's a kind of rock that's hard enough to use it as the tip of a weapon, a spear or an arrow, and it symbolizes a strong determination. And the prophecy is given in verses 6 and 7, and then that phrase, I will set my face like a flint, is the prophecy that talked about how Jesus was determined to get to the cross. He said, they'll smite my back, they'll pluck the hair off my face, they will spit on me, and I'll undergo shame, but I'm going to go to the cross. There's nothing that's going to keep me from the cross. Jesus, it was being prophesied about him, and it was true as we read those last few days before the crucifixion. He did set his face like a flint, and he endured things in those last few days, and he says, I'll get through it. I'll get through the trial. I'll get through the whipping. I'll get through the beating. I'll get through the shame and the spitting, and I will go to the cross. And tonight, I want to speak on the subject, set your face like a flint. He said, therefore, I have set my face like a flint. And I want to make four observations tonight and preach a real practical kind of message. You know, sometimes preachers need to preach those kind of messages. They just need to be practical, down to earth, common sense kind of things. And that's what I want to do tonight. So here's the four observations. Number one, Jesus had a goal. His goal was to get to the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins. So that if we accept the payment that he made on Calvary, we can be made right in the eyes of God, and we can go to live with God eternally. So he had a goal. That's what he meant when he told Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 37, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Why did Jesus leave heaven? Why, as the Prince of heaven, who sat at the right hand of God, why did he leave heaven? To go to the cross, to die for our sins, to make us right with our God. Why was he born of a virgin? So that he could be born without any sin-tainted blood. So that he could be the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. And so tonight, in a practical kind of way, we need to do the same thing that Jesus did. We need to have some goals. We need to have some things that we're shooting for in our life. When I was going to GMI, I had the privilege of being interim pastor at a church up in Standish. We met in a house. The garage was the auditorium, and nobody lived in it. It was a church house. The garage was the auditorium, and the rooms were the Sunday school rooms, and kitchen was the kitchen. You know, every Baptist church needs a kitchen, and we had fellowships. But I would go up on Saturday night, and I would stay with a family, the Pistru family. They owned a little hotel up in Standish, and he was a trapper. And sometimes on Saturday night, I go out with him on his boat. I mean, it was just like it wasn't a rowboat. He had a little motor on the back of it. And he would set muskrat traps. I don't know if we were on the bay or in the river. I can't remember. And then early Sunday morning, sometimes I'd get up and we'd go get the muskrats that he had trapped. Now, I might have gone fishing with somebody here. I can't remember if I have or not. But when I go fishing, I'm the kind of person that I don't like to touch the worms and I don't like to touch the fish. So if you go fishing with me, you're going to have to bait my hook and you're going to have to take the fish off. I tell you that just to let you know, I did not handle those muskrats either. But I remember one Sunday morning, we were out on his boat. He was in the front gathering up the muskrats. And he made this statement. He said, "I'm going to tell you something, young man. In life, don't drift. Don't drift." And what he was saying is, always know where you're going. And always have a goal. I can remember my dad saying to me many, many times, he says, "I'd rather you aim at the moon and miss than not to aim at nothing at all." And he was saying the same thing, have a goal. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, verse 29, verse 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And I believe that God created us to have goals. I believe he made us to want to achieve, to want to accomplish things. And so we need to have goals that we work toward. And just think about it. When does a person die? A person dies when they have no more goals, when they have nothing else that they want to accomplish. And so I would submit to you there are some 30 and 40 and 50-year-old people that are just as good as dead because they have no goals in their life. They have nothing that they want to accomplish. And there are 70 and 80 and 90-year-old people that are young because they still are looking forward to something. They still have their eyes set on something. They still have a target out in front of them. And they're young and they're alive because they have something more they want to accomplish. And so I think we need to set some goals. I think you need to set some goals in your individual life. I think, for example, every single one of us ought to have a goal that we walk with God, that we read the Bible every day, that we pray every day, that we come to church as often as we can. I think we ought to have spiritual goals in our life. I think we ought to have other kind of goals. Phyllis mentioned going to Weight Watchers. You know, I had my basement flooded a few months ago, and my scale was down in the basement and was an electronic deal, and it got flooded, and I had to throw it out because it didn't work anymore. And so as I was struggling to button a pair of my pants, I said to myself, you know, I need to get a new scale because I don't know what's going on, and my physical's coming up, and I just hate to go to the doctor and he say, "What happened to you?" But I wish I hadn't bought the scale. I discovered an ugly truth. Now, you're all waiting for me to tell you what it is, aren't you? I ain't going to do it. But I will tell you, I need to set a goal to lose some weight. I think you ought to have goals when it comes to your finances. I think you ought to have goals when it comes to your relationships. You know, you ought to have something to aim at. You ought to have something you're trying to accomplish. You ought to have a target. You ought to get a vision. You ought to know where you want to end up. I think we ought to have goals at church. We had three of them this year. Did you notice in the bulletin? We've already exceeded 14,000 contacts. Praise God for that. I think we're up to 26 attendance records. And I think we're up to 76, if I remember right, against our goal of 121 times through the Bible. I don't know if we're going to make that one this year. But that's all right. I mean, we tried. And we're going to try again next year. In fact, Adam and I have been talking about our program for 2012. And we're going to call it 12 by 12. 12 by 12 in 2012. And the 12 by 12 is we're going to have 12 themes. Every month we're going to have a different theme. And we're going to revolve around that verse from Matthew chapter 4:19, where Jesus said, "Follow me and I will and make you fishers of men." And that's going to be one month. But we're going to talk about the other things that Jesus will do for us if we follow him. And so we're going to have 12 themes. And then we're going to have 12 goals for 2012. We're going to try to set 12 attendance records. And you say, well, that's not much compared to 26. But just remember, every time we set an attendance record, that means we got to beat that record to set another one. And so 12 attendance records. And I know we've already made 14,000 contacts, but I'm going to set a goal, 12,000 contacts for next year. 120 times through the Bible. 12 new families that join our church in 2012. Brother Terry, 12 bus blitzes where we pick 12 Saturdays throughout the year and go out and just blitz for the bus. 120 first-time visitors over the course of 2012. $12,000 designated toward the building fund. Brother Paul has already donated a cow, and he's fattened it up. And we are going to have a barbecue sometime in the summer where we're going to invite people to come and eat barbecue, and we're going to ask them to make a donation toward our building fund. That'll be part of the $12,000 that goals. We're going to have 12 days of prayer. 12 days that throughout the year that we have a special emphasis on prayer. We're going to have 12 big days. We almost had 12 this year, but we're going to have 12 big days. And then the last three, I want us to have a goal of baptizing 12 adults, 12 teenagers, and 12 children at least in 2012. And so we're going to have some goals. I want us to stay alive as a church. I don't want us just to drift. I want us to aim high. And I want us to ask God to use us to do some wonderful things in 2012. So Jesus had a goal. Number two, he had a plan. He had a plan to accomplish that goal. That plan was not drawn up hastily after what happened in the Garden of Eden. That plan was devised before the foundation of the world. The plan that he was to come and leave heaven and be our sacrifice on Calvary's cross was devised by God before the first sin was ever committed. And again, that plan was for him to leave heaven, to be born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to go to the cross, to die as our Passover lamb, to die a substitute. As our substitute, can't say that word right now, to die as our substitute on the cross for you and me, that we could be made right with God. That was the plan. And he knew how he was going to be born. He knew where he was going to be born. He knew where he was going to live. He knew how he was going to live. He knew how he was going to get to the cross. That's why in the Garden of Eden, he could picture what he was going to do when he killed the innocent animals to cover up the nakedness of Adam and Eve. That's why in Exodus, he could picture what he was going to do with the Passover lamb. And he told Moses, take a perfect lamb, kill it, take its blood, spread it on the doorpost, and the death angel will pass over you. That's why he could picture it in every sacrifice that every priest offered. An innocent animal had to pay the price for sin. We need goals, but goals are not good enough. We need to have a plan. You see, it's not just going to miraculously happen. I'm not going to miraculously lose weight. You're not going to miraculously get out of debt. I think that might be a good goal for some folks, to get out of debt in 2012. That just doesn't happen. If you have spiritual goals, they are not just going to happen. You need to have a plan. That's why Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 14. He said, now look, no man sets down and builds a tower without first counting the cost. No man sets down to build a tower without figuring out how much it's going to cost to get it done, lest you start it and not have enough money to finish it. And he says, no man goes into war unless he counts up how many soldiers he's got and how many soldiers they got, and he knows that when he goes into war, he can win. I mean, by the numbers. What he was saying was, everybody needs a plan. Everybody needs a plan. Now, again, and many of you experienced this year. You know, we set out to read our Bible through this year. Some of you more than once, and that's good. But you had a plan. You follow the plan. I mean, you just didn't say, well, yeah, I'm going to read my Bible through and just drift. I mean, you knew how many chapters you had to read every day. You knew how many you had to read every month. You knew, you knew where you were and how much time was left. And you got on a schedule and you stayed on a schedule. And any goal that we have, we need a plan. Jesus had a plan. Plan that took him to the cross. Number three, he committed to his goal. He committed to going to the cross. It became his purpose. It became his cause. It became his life. That's why Isaiah could prophesy in chapter 50, therefore have I set my face like a flint. That's why Jesus could say as a 12-year-old boy to his mother and his father, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? He said it to Mary and Joseph. Remember when they lost him for 3 days and found him in the temple in the middle of the doctors, and he was answering their questions and answering questions? He said, and they said, well, why did you treat us like this? We were worried about you. And he said, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? I mean, I'm committed to this plan. That's why he could say, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he could stand before Pilate and say, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. That's why he could hang on Calvary and shout just before he died, it is finished. I've reached my goal. I've accomplished my task. I've done what I've come to do. He committed to his goal. And again, if we're going to accomplish our goals, not only do we have to have them, not only do we have to have a plan, but we have to be committed to it. There is sacrifice in most cases meeting any goal. There are some things you got to give up. There are some choices that you have to make. And there, you don't accomplish goals without some kind of sacrifice, without making it your cause. David said, you remember when his older brother rebuked him when he wanted to go fight Goliath? He said, no, isn't there a cause? I mean, this loud-mouthed heathen is defying our God. He's defying our God. What he's saying is that God won't protect anybody that goes out and fights him. I don't believe that. I believe that God will protect anyone that goes out and fights this giant. I'm willing to put my faith to the test. I'm committed to the cause of my God. And he went out and fought Goliath. And so Jesus was committed to the goal. And then number four, he set his face like a flint. He didn't let anything or anyone get him off course. Think about it. There were beings all throughout his life, people and demons and the devil, that tried to get him off course. Early in his ministry, his public ministry, Satan tempted him. Took him out in the wilderness for 40 days. No food. And he tried to disqualify him. He tried to get Jesus to do things, and he promised him. He promised him power. He promised him glory. He promised him fame. And what Satan was trying to do was get him off course, to disqualify him from being able to go to the cross and die in our place. And each time, Jesus went back with the word of God. It is written. It is written. The leader of the disciples, Peter, on one occasion tried to talk Jesus out of going to the cross. Then Peter took him, this is from Matthew chapter 16, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus was talking about the suffering that he was going to have to endure as he went to the cross. And Peter said, no, this is not going to happen to you. We won't let this happen to you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, you don't understand. This is the reason I came. That's why I'm here. You're not going to dissuade me. You think I don't know the suffering that I'm going to have to endure? I've got my face set like a flint, and you or nobody else is going to dissuade me. Judas. I mean, God used him to carry out his plan. Somebody asked me last week, did Judas have a choice? Yeah, Judas had a choice. He had a free will. God didn't make him do what he did. He decided to do that. And God used Judas and a disciple that betrayed him. A disciple that betrayed him. One of the inner circle, the circle of 12, betrayed him. Again, trying to get him off course, but used of God. All the disciples forsook him. Pilate wanted to let him go. You remember he said, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault. But Jesus said to every single one of them, no, you're not getting me off course. I've got my face set like a flint. I am going to the cross. That's why I came. I'm not going to be dissuaded. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to take any detour. And so he made it to the cross. And as he, again, when he cried, it is finished, what he was saying is, I've achieved my goal. Now salvation is available to every person. Now eternal life is available to every person. Now whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll be honest with you. Satan doesn't want us to accomplish our goals, neither in our individual lives or in our life as a church. He just soon that we drift. You know, just let the current carry us along. He just shoot as soon that we aim for nothing. I mean, if you aim for nothing, you probably hit it. But that's what Satan wants us to do. Just aim for nothing. Not have any goals. And he'll try to get us off course in every area of our life. I guarantee you. I'll tell you what's going to happen to me. So I decide I need to lose weight. You know what'll happen? I'll have people bring me cookies and candy, invite me over for pizza. Maybe I'll wait till after the first of the year. We need to be determined. We need to make it our cause. We need to say, no, I'm not going to be distracted. You see, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, here's what Satan's trying to tell you right now. He's trying to get you distracted. He knows that God's goal, target for every single person is to know Jesus as their Savior and be a part of his family. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, Satan is telling you, here's what he's doing. He said, boy, 7 o'clock, when's the preacher going to be done? 7 o'clock, supposed to be done by 7 o'clock, and he's still preaching. That's what he's whispering to you, because he wants to take your mind off what's important. He wants to distract you. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a sinner headed toward hell. And Satan says, you can take care of that later. You don't have to worry about it. Now, you've got plenty of time. And he'll tell us all sorts of lies to try to distract us from the truth that every sinner that doesn't know Jesus is headed to hell. And today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And so if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, don't leave this place. Don't leave this place without knowing for sure that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. And most of us are Christians here tonight, not speaking to Christians. Get some goals. If you don't have any goals, if you haven't had any goals this year, you know, this time of year, new year, when we think about what we're going to accomplish next year, get you some goals. Get a plan. Commit to that plan. Be focused. Set your face like a flint. And let's do something for God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the practicality of it, the common sense of it, the wisdom that it gives us in how to live our lives. Paul said, I haven't attained yet. I haven't arrived. I'm still pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, help us to realize we haven't arrived yet. We haven't arrived as individuals. We haven't arrived as a church. There's still things you want us to do. There's still things you want us to accomplish. And Father, I pray that you give us wisdom, that we'd use the wisdom that Jesus displayed for us as we went to the cross and died in our place. Again, Father, somebody here that doesn't know Jesus, help them come tonight. Ask Jesus to save them. Speak to Christians. Maybe there's somebody here, Father, that you've been speaking to about joining the church, and maybe tonight is the night they need to do that. I just pray you'll speak to their hearts and they'll be obedient. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.